Good morning. This is KBBI Homer AM 890. You are tuned to the coffee table, and I'm your host, Kathleen Gustafson. This morning, Solarize the Kenai is the topic, and solar energy on the Kenai Peninsula. And it's always an adventure to see whether our guests are coming through. So let's start with Tim Johnson from Solarize the Kenai. Do you read me?
I read you loud and clear. How Ooh. Do you like copy?
I like that just fine. And how about Ben May from Alaska Solar on Thailand?
Hi, everyone.
Oh, good morning to you.
Great to talk solar.
And then let's start with Yvonne Lutweiler from Solarize the Kenai. Are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Okay. And how about Satchel Pondolfino from Solarize the Kenai and Cook Inlet Keeper? Good morning, Satchel.
Good morning, Kathleen.
How about John Mink from Midnight Sun Solar? Looks like you're muted.
Go ahead. John wasn't able to make it. This is Mark
okay.
with Midnight Sun Solar.
Well, thanks. Hi, Mark Howler from Midnight Sun Solar. It's good to have you guys all on the line. The first thing I want to do is let people know that we'll be taking questions all through the hour. If you have questions for the panel as things come up, you can either call 235-7721 and Josh is standing by to write your questions down or send them into the studio so you can ask them live, or you can email your questions to kathleen@kbbi.org. So let's start. I'm going to begin with Satchel Pondolfino. And can you give us a brief history of Solarize?
Sure. So I don't think I said it, but I am the lower inlet organizer for Cook Inlet Keeper. And Cook Inlet Keeper launched a Solarize program for the first time on the Kenai Peninsula last year. And we ran two programs. We ran one in the Central Peninsula, and then I organized the one down here on the Lower Peninsula. And the Solarize programs were really piggybacking off of other nonprofits across the state who have successfully run these programs before. So the Alaska Center has been running them in Anchorage for several years and just started launching the programs in Fairbanks the same time we launched ours down here on the Kenai. But they're designed to really help customers overcome some of the common barriers that they face when deciding whether or not to install solar, and those barriers can just be the complexity of understanding the solar landscape between installers, making that decision, dealing with the utility, and of course the upfront costs. So Solarize programs are, what they do is they create a collective buying pool that allows installers to really reduce their costs of marketing and logistics. And so they can offer a discounted rate. So this is our second year running the program. We had a great year last year. I think we installed over 85 systems or 82 systems within the sort of Solarize timeframe. And then post that timeframe, even more systems were installed, and we added total last year 890 kilowatts of capacity to the HEA grid system, which is really cool, and it prompted HEA to expand their net metering cap from 3% to 7%. And so this year we're doing it again, and we're excited to be offering more Solarize programs. We've split the Central Peninsula into two programs. We're still doing a program down here on the Lower Peninsula, and for the first time, Seward will be offering a Solarize program as well.
So, Satchel, I know that you have to duck out a little bit early, so I'm going to be front-loading my questions to you.
Sure.
There is also, there's a clearance that you have to get through HEA when you go solar. Can you talk a little bit about that? Or is there someone else on the panel who is better equipped to answer that?
I can speak to that.
Go ahead, Mark Howler.
Yeah, so HEA has an application process. It's pretty straightforward, and so we would assist folks on the front end of getting those applications completed and over to Homer Electric so they can do just a verification of the
capacity. Mark, you're drifting away from your mic, it sounds like.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Is the audio coming in clear?
Oh, yeah.
So the HEA has to check to see if the equipment on the line can handle a prospective solar array. And once they do their design review, then they'll give the customer and the contractor the notice to proceed with the project.
Okay, thanks for that. And so, Satchel, I want to get back to you about what seem to be the new participants. So is it, you said 80, over 80 people signed up last year, but this year your Solarize the Kenai website says 300 participants this year?
Well, we had, so to clarify, there were 82 homes that installed solar within the Solarize window last year, but there was, you know, a lot bigger list of people that were interested in installing solar. And so this year, our interest list is 300, and we expect a lot of people to install solar. And I'm really curious about if there'll be a jump this year as people start rebounding from COVID and feel a little bit more comfortable making these kinds of investments. But I think I can't speak to the entire interest list last year, but I know down in Homer we had like 120 interested, and then that translated to about 40 homes that installed. So, yeah.
And the other thing before I move on to Yvonne and Tim is, where are we in the process right now for this year's cycle? So installers are being contacted, people have developed interest, but how do we get from 300 people interested to X amount of people will be installing?
Sure, so we just finished the installer selection process. So we have Mark and Ben on the phone. We're gonna have the same installers as we did last year in the Central and Lower Peninsula. So Alaska Solar is coming back down to Homer, and Midnight Sun Solar is going to be based in the Central Peninsula for the Solarize programs. And Yvonne and Tim led those RFP selection processes with a group of volunteers interested in installing solar in their localities. And then right now, we're just continuing to drive interest, get people to sign up on our lists, and then we provide those lists to the installers that were selected, and they're going to be kind of taking it from here and starting the initial contact into getting individual homes and businesses evaluated and,
thanks.
Priced out.
That's Satchel Pondolfino from Cook Inlet Keeper and Solarize the Kenai. I'm going to move on to Yvonne and Tim. So which one of you two wants to start with? I want to talk about the fact that this is a volunteer-led organization. What does that mean? How many volunteers are we talking about for Solarize the Kenai?
Well, I'll start in with that if I can. And then,
yeah, go ahead.
But I will say, yeah, this is Tim Johnson. Can you hear me okay?
We gotcha.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay, good. I'm sorry. But, you know, Yvonne can really speak to, you know, the volunteer process and or experience, really. But right now we're currently hovering around 18 active volunteers within it. It's an ebb and flow process throughout. You know, we get people early on helping with the advertising, getting the word out, putting together signs, you know, et cetera, getting the word out. And then we move into the decision-making process, which is a more organized group of volunteers. And then since we've just finished that phase, now we move into the campaign aspect of it, where we work with the vendors for community outreach and more education and just generating more interest and working with the, you know, just catching any kind of feedback that we can from people installing and the vendors that are installing.
Thanks, that's Tim Johnson from Solarize the Kenai. Yvonne, can you go a little further in depth about what the volunteers are doing? How are they trained? And what kind of education and outreach do the volunteers do in the community?
Sure. The volunteers were selected. They expressed an interest in possibly volunteering when the campaign, when they sign up with their interest to install solar, and or if they replied to a survey from last year. And I was I submitted the survey. So then Solarize contacted me and asked if I wanted to volunteer, and I agreed. So initially, we just, anyone who wanted to help get the word out, we kind of just coordinated that. And we had a kickoff meeting, I think it was late last month in February, an educational meeting that also told the volunteers what was going on and what the process was going to be. And then Solarize sent out the request for proposal to the bidders. And any volunteers that were willing to be on the team to select those installers then got together and looked at the proposals and learned how to, we got trained on a Zoom call on how to evaluate each proposal with people that did it last year. And then we spent a good week communicating with each other, discussing the proposals. And then we had interviews with the installers. And then got together again, made our final decision, and then sent that into the Solarize campaign. And they tallied up the score, and then the final decision was made.
Thanks. That's Yvonne Lutwiler from Solarize the Kenai. I want to get down to the nuts and bolts now, or whatever it takes to install solar energy in your home. So I'm going to start with Ben May. And Ben is from Alaska Solar, one of the installers selected. Ben, what kind of systems are we talking about? What is the equipment we're talking about? And let's begin with off-grid systems and on-the-grid systems and how they differ.
Exactly. So the biggest difference between those two is the grid-tied solars don't have a battery. The grid is the battery in that case. And then the, I'm getting a lot of feedback. There we go. So the, and then the grid, the off-grid systems have a battery. The off-grid systems take about twice as much money to install for the same amount of power. And the off-grid also take a lot of maintenance. The on-grid systems, which are just using the grid to give and take through the meter, are much more economical, and they provide a much bigger economic benefit. We're seeing maybe 9, 10, 11% return on investment for on-the-grid systems. And they're just a lot more simple. There's usually nothing inside the house. The inverters are on the roof with the solar panels, and it's just a conduit running down to connect to your home power system, usually at the meter. So it's just a much more plug-and-play, simple system. That's the reason why the Solarize systems have mostly been on-grid or grid-tied systems.
So, Ben, are you getting feedback in your ear, getting an echo in your headphones, or is it pretty clear?
I was, yeah.
But you've got it back now?
Yeah, it's good now.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So I'm going to move on to Mark Haller from Alaska Solar, and then we'll come back to you in just a moment, Ben, because I know people want to know about the timeline for installation. Like, what's the process from when the installers get to your house to the time you can flip on the lights and they're the result of solar energy?
Yeah, so hey, Kathleen, and just a quick correction. Mark Mees with Midnight Sun Solar.
I'm so sorry, my notes are.
With Alaska Solar.
Got it.
It's okay. and then since we're here at the coffee table, I'll do a shameless plug.
Go for it.
Here at our office in Homer next to Ano Kisatan, which is a really nice coffee shop. It's sweet to have right next door. We can get our cups of coffee in the morning. So. So just remind me real quickly, Kathleen, your question was, what does the timeline look
right.
like for most of these projects?
I would like to, if you could walk us through, how long it takes and what's involved from the time the installers arrive at your home or business to the time when you can flip on the lights and it's powered by solar energy.
Yeah, so kind of what I spoke to a little bit earlier is the initial phase of getting the paperwork completed with Homer Electric, and that's kind of two parts. And what Ben was kind of speaking about a little bit earlier is we really want to give customers a nice comprehensive proposal before they're even considering installing solar on their roof. And so we want them to have a really educated look at what the benefits are of the system. And once the customer feels comfortable with that, then we would move forward with an application to Homer Electric. Homer Electric's net metering team is really, really responsive. They're really great folks to work with, and they're usually able to get a notice to proceed back to us within the same or the next day, typically. Then depending on scheduling for the installers, like currently, you know, our queue is about a week lead time before we can actually go to a job and do our install because we're busy completing installs currently. So, you know, about a week transpires, we allocate our materials, we show up to the job site. The installation of the equipment takes generally about 2 to 4 days, depending on some job site specifics, you know, where it's located and how difficult it may or may not be to get on the roof, et cetera. And then we partner up with a couple of different subcontractors on the peninsula that perform the interconnection between the solar array and the customer's service at their home. And once that's completed, an inspection gets called in to Homer Electric, and their engineer will look for just to verify that the application and the solar array match properly, and that there's some labeling requirements that we have that we need to make sure are visible. And so they were doing really, really well this year. They were able to get out to most folks' places within a week, but their workflow kind of fluctuates throughout the summer too. So sometimes it could take a couple weeks to get that inspection. After the inspection's completed, then the engineering team sends a work order to their metering department, and the metering department is on the schedule to replace the customer's existing meter with a meter that's capable of reading energy that flows in two different directions. And so that's to make sure that the customers get properly credited for any of the excess kilowatt hours that they're sending to the grid throughout the day and throughout their billing cycle. And so the metering department, again, takes anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks, kind of depending on their workflow. Part of it depends on if they have the meters. The meters are something that it's pretty nice. Homer Electric does not charge the customers any money for this entire process. Some of the other rail-built utilities do. And so they provide that meter to the customers free of charge. They go out and replace it. And once that meter's been replaced, then we're able to energize the system, and then, you know, we can look at it online and verify it's functioning properly. So,
okay.
In a nutshell.
Thanks, Mark. I'm going to come back to you in just a moment, but I want to switch over. Go ahead.
Just to jump in a moment.
Yeah. Is that Ben?
So the HEA deserves a lot of credit. They were... Yeah, I've got about a 3-second delay right now.
Okay, I'll wait for you. Go ahead.
Okay, so HEA deserves a lot of credit. They were in a maybe one or two per week a couple years ago, and now they're probably processing 20 systems a week during the summer between the two major installers, Midnight Sun Solar and ourselves, Alaska Solar. So they've really ramped up, and I want to give a shout out to Tyler Cheatwood for making a good schedule and getting around for inspections every week. And they've really worked hard. And then raising the cap for solar has been very friendly to solar as well.
Thanks. And Ben, I know Mark was talking about being based here in Homer with Midnight Sun Solar, but Alaska Solar is in based in Anchorage. Is that right?
Yeah, we're based in Alaska. We have set up a site there in Homer for the summer, and then we may also be in Fairbanks as well. So we have several crews now and are working in several places. So we love working in Homer, and we often spend, I think we spend about 3 to 4 months down there with a crew. So.
And I'll come back to you, Mark, in just a moment. Ben, Mark mentioned sending energy back to HEA if you are generating more than you need, in your or more than you use. In your experience, how common is that?
It's happening moment to moment with any system. So this is the process of net metering. It's super important to solar. It's very friendly to solar customers and to the solar industry and to the environment, consequently. So what net metering is that brings this give and take from the grid. So when the moment you have a little more power than you're using, it goes out through the meter, it gets counted as a kilowatt hour, and then in a cloudy day or when you're consuming a lot or at night, those kilowatt hours, that energy comes back in your house and the meter counts it the other way. The net of that is the net meter, and that gets tallied up at the end of the month here in Alaska, and then you get a bill. And so that net metering means that you basically have a battery in the grid that's 100% efficient. The give and take is there is no penalty for that give and take. So that's been really important.
Okay, thanks.
Kathleen,
this is Tim. Go ahead,
Tim. And I would say that Yvonne has been on net metering for over a year. So, you know, she can attest to the typical feedback and the net metering that people in Homer are going to see.
Thanks so much, Yvonne. Can you weigh in on this and your experience with sending energy back to HEA through net metering?
Certainly. First of all, in Alaska, we have seasonal differences. We get a lot more solar in the summer than in the winter. And unfortunately, we use more electricity in the winter than in the summer. And HEA billing is done monthly. So if in the summer your system produces a lot of excess energy and that goes back into the grid, you get credited for that. In that month's bill, you cannot carry it over into December when you would actually appreciate the credit more because you're drawing more electricity out of the grid because your system is not producing as much. Another thing that's maybe important to say is that HEA does not credit you for at retail value for your energy. They credit you at a smaller price, and what you get back for your kilowatt hours that you feed into the system is pretty much what it would cost them to buy fuel to make energy. And the rest is amortized into maintenance cost of the grid.
Thanks. That's Yvonne Lutweiler from Solarize the Kenai. I want to get into, we are going to get into how cost effective solar is these days, installation and maintenance. And so I will be talking to Ben and Mark about that. But I want to start with a question about tax credits and for installation cost, I believe. Satchel or Tim or Yvonne, are one of you guys the person to ask about that?
Are you still there, Satchel? Would you like to address that?
You can go ahead, Tim.
Okay, Tim Johnson from Solarize the Kenai.
Solar tax credits, you know, on December 26th, the Congress passed and extended the solar investment tax credits at the 26% level. So any new equipment that is renewable energy, provides renewable energy, is eligible for a 26% federal tax credit. So that's if you have an existing system and buy more panels, that additional product is also get the 26% on. And it's a standard federal tax credit. You can apply it all that 1 year. You can carry it over to the next year. But the key thing that this year with the investment tax credit is that they extended it for 2 years. So not only covers 2021, but 2022, which again gives people a little bit more leeway to get in the right size system over a 2-year period instead of just a 1-year period where everybody else was working at.
Okay, thanks.
I wanted to mention a bit here. This is Ben.
That's
with,
Ben.
Alaska
Go ahead.
Solar. Commercial installations can also give you a depreciation, and there's a grant available for commercial operations for 25% for qualifying people, of course. There's a bit of a process there, but there's a REAP grant through the USDA for 25%. The combined effect of all these is that 60 to 70% of commercial customers can have their 60 to 70% of the of commercial systems can be paid for through these incentive programs. It makes for a payback of 20% return on investment and maybe 3 to 4 years to get it paid off. It's great. That's why you're seeing some large systems on some commercial buildings around Homer and Soldotna and Kenai.
Okay, thanks. That's Ben May from Alaska Solar. I'm going to come back to you in a minute to talk about how much space the equipment requires and maintenance. We're going to get to that. But I'm going to go back to Mark Haller from Midnight Sun Solar for a moment. And both of you, please feel free to weigh in on this question because I'm not really sure. I know there are a lot of different answers to it. I know that people want to know the dollars. They want to hear the numbers of how much it costs. And so, Mark, can you give us some examples of types of systems and what the cost would be just starting on installation? And then we'll talk about maintenance over time.
Yeah, so, you know, just to reiterate, the one cool thing about these solarized campaigns is that it's giving local communities access to solar at a more affordable price than they would normally if they were going to try to go after the endeavor just on their own. But generally, we see an average system cost between $10,000 and $20,000 is really, really common. And these are turnkey prices. So this is the dollar amount that you would contract either us or Alaska Solar out for to provide you with a functioning solar system. Now that's the retail price. There's going to be the tax credit or any other incentives that you may qualify for that will continue to drive that cost down. And what we see on average is anywhere from a 7 to 10 year return on investment here on the Homer Electric grid. But one thing to note is that just between Homer, Niniltrik, and the central Kenai area, the solar exposure is a little bit different. So, you know, or say for instance, folks' roof orientations might be a little bit different. And so again, when we provide people with that proposal, we want to make sure that we're being accurate in the information that we're giving them on some of the financials. But our general impression that we've gotten over the last couple of years is that that the systems are much more affordable than folks that were looking into it, say, 5 years ago.
And Yvonne, does that square with the costs that you experienced?
It does. I solarized before the campaign was available. I may have paid a little more, but not significantly because the price of solar continues to come down. If there would have been the solarized campaign, I would have loved to participate because it would have given me a lot of advantage and saved me some work in doing research and information gathering. So, yeah, solarized campaign is a good thing for the community.
And Ben, I want to make sure to get, if you have anything you want to add in terms of talking about the cost, I don't want to leave you out on that because how long has Alaska Solar been around?
So we've been around for 5 years. I started the business when I saw that the price of solar panels had dropped so much. In 10 years, the solar panels themselves dropped to 1/10 of the price of what they had been. And so I'm really glad I started the business when I did, because I think if I'd started earlier, I would have starved like many people did. So it really did it was a good time to start, and it meant that my customers could meet or beat the stock market with their investment. And so it really started to work for me as an installer and for my customers, which made me very happy.
Okay, now before we move on to the next, to about space and maintenance, I want to make sure that Tim and Satchel, if you have anything you want to add to talk about the costs, Ben and Mark were talking about grants and credits that a person might take advantage of. Are those USDA grants and such? Does Solarize help people facilitate those or make those and submit them?
I can answer to that, and I will say no. We inform them of them, and we are working on the information side of that, making sure that everybody knows what's available. And all of the solar organizations or the solar vendor organizations, you know, provide for residential areas at least, you know, they bring their level of financing with them. Homer Electric has a very progressive customer investment or financing option available to them. And then, as Ben had mentioned about the REAP program, we've had numerous people successfully do that last year, the ones that did the central organization last year. But that is a very involved process. And at this point, you know, Solarize is just starting with that type of information. And so we're more of showing them where it's at and helping them and trying to answer any questions we can with them. But we do not at this time guide them through any of the financing process.
Thanks. That's Tim Johnson.
Just a couple of comments about that.
Oh, go ahead.
So the investment tax credit for residential solar is extremely easy. I did mine 4 or 5 years ago on TurboTax, and I think it was two questions and about 2-3 minutes to go through that. It's a one-page thing. So for most residential people, it's very easy. The REAP process is quite long. We've developed our expertise in helping and facilitating that with our customers. The REAP is for the commercial grant, and so that's much more involved, but it's worth it in the end.
Thanks. So that's Ben May from Alaska Solar. You've also heard from installer Mark Haller from Midnight Sun Solar and from the Solarize the Kenai project, Yvonne Letweiler, Tim Johnson, and Satchel Pondolfino. If you have questions or comments for the panel, you can email them to Kathleen@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721. Josh is standing by to write your questions down and send them into the studio, or he can send your phone call into the studio and you can ask it live, whichever you prefer.